thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. On Mondays, we talk politics with reporters covering political issues, whether that's Illinois or elsewhere. And we thought leading up to the election, we would devote this space to fact-checking. With politicians making all kinds of claims about themselves, flinging accusations at their opponents, it can be difficult to sift the truth from the not. Thankfully, there are many journalists who are working to figure that out, including Reboot Illinois, which has partnered with PolitiFact to take on that responsibility this election season. Matt Dietrich is the editor of Reboot Illinois. The Pulitzer Prize-winning website PolitiFact has partnered with Reboot Illinois to create PolitiFact Illinois. That happened earlier this summer. And Matt is with us now. Hey, Matt, welcome back to The 21st.
Thanks, Nyla. Great to be here.
Can you explain a little bit more about why Reboot and PolitiFact have come together and what you all have been doing? You launched this in June, but we're going to be doing a little more focus on this on the 21st. I wanted to give you a chance to explain what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, PolitiFact is a fact-checking website that started in 2007 to fact-check the presidential election that was going to be coming up in 2008. And it was started by the St. Petersburg Tribune, and it won the Pulitzer Prize, actually, for its coverage of the 2008 election. They have gone around and they've done partnerships in individual states with news organizations, and in the case of Missouri, they did it with the University of Missouri Journalism School, where they have they train a group of fact checkers from a publication or from an entity to practice the PolitiFact fact checking method, and that's what we have done with PolitiFact. We've started in June, got our training, and we've been fact checking. We've done a lot on the Duckworth Kirk campaign because I think that's the one that has the most national appeal. The whole country is watching that because it's such a hotly contested race, and the balance of the Senate is at stake. So we've done five so far on Kirk and Duckworth. We're also following the comptroller campaign very closely. We've done a couple on that, and we're fact checking pretty much any statement that we feel like there may be curiosity about. There is a method that we use, that PolitiFact uses to decide what to fact check, and that's what we go by. But basically it comes down to, if we hear a statement and we think, is that really true, or would someone want to know if that's true, let's take a look at that. That's kind of how it starts.
So let's go into two. We're going to take two claims today. Let's start with, as you mentioned, the Duckworth Kirk campaign has been there's been a lot of advertising. There's been a lot of statements. There's been a lot of emails. Tammy Duckworth has made a claim, Representative Duckworth, several times in campaign fundraising emails that her Republican opponent, Senator Mark Kirk, is, quote, outsourcing his campaign to a super PAC funded almost exclusively by a bunch of hedge fund billionaires, end quote. Is that true?
Well, that's our most recent fact check that we've done on this, and we rated that statement as mostly false. And there was more in the statement than the part you just read. But what the campaign mailer says basically is that Mark Kirk has outsourced his campaign fundraising, meaning handed it over to an outside group that is funded by hedge fund billionaires. Now, we take issue with the use of the term outsourced, because that implies that Mark Kirk is actively participating with some outside group and went to them and outsourced, right? That's illegal. And there is a group called Independent Voice for Illinois. That is a super PAC that is founded and is devoted to, it's actually run by Mark Kirk's former chief of staff, and it's all about supporting Mark Kirk. And I don't know if we want to get into exactly what a super PAC is.
Yes, I think you should know. That's a good idea. Yeah. I think it's a good time to give us
super
a reminder PAC of what a super PAC is and what it can and cannot do.
Yeah, super PACs are something that have really, really come into the mainstream since the Citizens United Supreme Court decision in 2009. And a super PAC is a political action committee that does not have to disclose its. Well, it. Let me get a super PAC can spend unlimited amounts of money to support a candidate or in opposition to anyone, But what a super PAC cannot do is coordinate in any way with any candidate. It can't give money directly to a candidate.
Or to their campaign.
Or to their campaign. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, to say that Mark Kirk is outsourcing to Independent Voice for Illinois, that's not accurate. Now, I think that what the Duckworth campaign was trying to imply, I think they were using it more colloquially, as if to say, "Oh yeah, he's."
It's his former chief of staff and a former campaign manager, so that's the tie.
But that's not what the general public hears. There's a lot of misunderstanding about how these things work. And to say that he outsourced it, you're saying that he actively solicited this outfit to do the fundraising. So we rated that not true now. Also in this statement, the Duckworth campaign implies that they are getting no help from a super PAC. That's not true either. While there is not a super PAC that is devoted strictly to Tammy Duckworth, she has gotten more than $700,000 worth of support from super PACs, from these kind of groups. Now, a candidate is powerless to stop them. A candidate can't coordinate with a group to say, "Hey, would you help me?" They also can't coordinate with a group and say, "Don't do this on my behalf," or "Stop doing this." So, our point was, you can't so strongly imply that Mark Kirk's getting all this outside help and we're getting nothing, when in fact you're getting $700,000, even though he is getting over $1 million.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is the sort. And I like how, and that's how PolitiFact works. It says mostly false, mostly true. For people who haven't seen, there's like a little meter so you could see that. Let's move on to another claim, and that's by Comptroller Leslie Munger. And we wanted to play what she said. This was at a Chicago Sun-Times editorial debate on September 15th. She had with her Democratic opponent, Susana Mendoza.
Okay, as long as we're talking about transparency, I'd just like to mention two things. My opponent, who is talking about transparency, was on both the City of Chicago payroll and the State of Illinois payroll simultaneously, taking full salary, funding her full pension benefits, both as a city worker and as a state worker for 10 years.
I know that Susana Mendoza fired back after Comptroller Munger said that, saying this was false. How did you all rate this statement?
We rated this one half true, and in the parlance of PolitiFact, which, by the way, all of those ratings that you see, true, mostly true, half true, they are strictly defined, and half true means the statement is partially accurate, but leaves out important details or takes things out of context. The reason we ruled this one half true is that it is not true that Mendoza collected two full salaries. We found requests by Susana Mendoza from 2002, when she first got into the Illinois General Assembly, telling her city department in Chicago, "I cannot be paid on these General Assembly days." Then we went through her pension records and found that she had, in fact, made sure that she was not being paid on her city payroll during the times when she was doing General Assembly work. And it didn't directly say this, and this was a hard thing to 100% verify, but it was fairly clear that she was not funding her pension for the days that she was not getting paid by the city. She was not funding her city pension. However, she was on the General Assembly's pension plan, and she still was funding her city pension, albeit on the lower level because she had fewer salaried days. So there was some truth in that she was part of two state pension systems. She was not collecting full salary at both jobs at the same time, so there was not salary double dipping. So that's why we said that claim was half true.
All right, half true. We'll see you back, Matt, next week at this time. We're going to tweet all the links so everyone can read the work that PolitiFact Illinois is doing. By the way, can people suggest things they want PolitiFact to check on? How do they do that?
They absolutely can. And if you go to politifact.com/Illinois, you'll see you can find contact information. You can email me at matt@rebootillinois.com.
All right. Sounds great. Good. Yeah. We'll tweet out all of that information, too. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Nyla.
An incoming state lawmaker in St. Louis sent a letter to the State House Speaker that has sort of rocked the State House in Missouri, and we wanted to spend a minute or two talking about that right now. The letter accuses another incoming colleague of rape. It was sent on Friday. The State House has been rocked by other sex scandals over the past 2 years. St. Louis Post-Dispatch Metro columnist Tony Messenger is the one who broke the story on Friday, and he joins us now from the newsroom to share more. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
You interviewed the incoming representative making the accusations. She's a 31-year-old lawyer, Cora Faith Walker, who's set to represent Ferguson in the Missouri State Legislature. She asked you to identify her publicly, I should add. What did she say to you?
She described the encounter to the extent that she remembered it between her and the other lawmaker, and told me about waking up and not remembering it, and determining that that she had been sexually assaulted. Told her husband that day, and they took a while to decide whether or not to go to police, knowing that this was going to be a very public situation. And ultimately, they decided after a lot of talks with themselves and their family that it was important for them to go to police, and not only to go to police, but to decide to be very public about this, in part because the legislature has had such a history in the last few years of accusations of sexual harassment and sexual violence and poor behavior by the mostly men who dominate the legislature. And in fact, the current speaker, the Speaker of the House, Todd Richardson, who she wrote the letter to, came into office because the previous speaker resigned because of a sex scandal involving an intern.
Promised
to clean up the legislature. And so Cora Faith Walker is putting her name out there on the line saying, what are you going to do to protect women?
And I wanted to just add a note to our audience, and like most news organizations, and I imagine the St. Louis Post-Dispatch also has this policy of not identifying sexual assault victims, but she asked you to. She said that was part of why she's doing this. That's why we're also, our organization is also identifying her. But to the point, to her point about this accusation that she's made, and in the climate of what you've just described, what has been going on in the State House, and how do you think people are reacting to this most recent allegation?
Well, there's been just sort of this bawdy fraternity atmosphere. One of the situations that happens in the legislature here in Missouri is, unlike Illinois, there are no limits on lobbyist gifts. There are no limits on campaign donations. And so there is a little bit of an anything-goes atmosphere in our capital. And it's something that's been going on for a while. And female lawmakers have complained about it, and young legislative aides and interns have complained about it. And over the last couple of years, it's become very public. The one university canceled its intern program for a period of time. Obviously, the former speaker resigned because of allegations against him. And then after he resigned, a state senator also resigned after interns spoke up and made allegations against him. And so there's just,
and we should add, this is both parties in both houses. This is
both parties, both houses, Democrats, Republicans, etc. The one commonality being women making complaints against men. And having formerly covered the Capitol as a reporter, I can tell you that in an atmosphere in which lawmakers feel entitled to free booze and free dinners and just sort of this sense of entitlement that exists in that culture, it carries over, and there is just an unhealthy atmosphere at times in that building. And women have complained about it quietly for a long time, and they've complained quietly because they feel like their jobs are on the line. And Cora Faith Walker said, I'm not going to complain quietly. I'm going to make a big deal out of this.
Tony, I'm afraid we're almost out of time, but what's been the response of from the accused by this?
He has denied wrongdoing. I spoke to his attorney Friday night, and his attorney said that the encounter was consensual. Says that he doesn't believe there's a crime here, and says he believes he has evidence that indicates that it was consensual. So that was the response from the attorney Friday night.
Well, I know we'll see. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I know there's a lot to see how this unfolds. So we'd love to check back in with you in the future and kind of see how this is unfolding.
Be glad to.
Thanks for joining us. That's Tony Messenger, Metro columnist with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, explaining what's going on in the State House in Missouri. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Nyla Boodoo.